So I would like to chant with you a verse which is a little bit out of the sequence. It's from the ninth canto, chapter 5, verse 15, where Dovashamuni speaks. I think you all know there was a conflict between Dovasha and Ambarish. Dovasha came really to test Ambarish, and he did a terrible mistake, so much so that Lord Vishnu was angry at him, and only after he had begged forgiveness from Ambarish, whom he had offended, only then he was forgiven. So what he said after this experience, after doing a mistake, offending Ambarish, and then being forgiven, this is very relevant for our discussion here. As you all know, we are discussing the art of transformation. This will be extra service for you. It's a seminar which belongs together, the various parts. So let us start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat after me.
Duṣkara-konu-sādhunam
Jai-saṅgrihito-bhagavān
Sattvatam-rishabho-hari.
Difficult to do. Kaha. What? Nu. Indeed. Sadhunam.
Of the devotees.
Dushyaha.
Impossible to give up.
Va. Either.
Mahatmanam,
of the great persons.
Yai,
by which persons?
Sangrihita,
achieved by devotional service.
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadvatam, of the pure devotees.
Rishabha,
the leader.
Harihi,
the Lord.
Good.
So. For those who have achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the pure devotees, what is impossible to do and what is impossible to give up? So this is a question. Dovasha says with great astonishment, oh my God, I have seen Ambarish was protected by the Lord. So for those who have achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the devotees, what is impossible to do and what is impossible to give up. There is no purport to this verse, but I will read you verse 24, where there is a beautiful purport which explains everything. After 1 year, when Durvasa Muni had returned, King Ambarisha sumptuously fed him with all varieties of pure food. And then he himself also ate. When the king saw that the Brahmana Durvasa had been released from the great danger of being burned, he could understand that by the grace of the Lord, he himself was also powerful. Ambarish could understand, I'm by the grace of the Lord also powerful. But he did not take any credit, for everything had been done by the Lord. Prabhupada gives now a very nice purport. When you listen, or if you listen carefully, you will understand this section very nicely. A devotee like Maharaj Ambarisha is certainly always busy in many activities. Of course, this material world is full of dangers that one has to meet. But a devotee, because of his full dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never disturbed. Never disturbed. The vivid example is Maharaj Ambarisha. He was the emperor of the entire world and had many duties to perform. And in the course of these duties, there were many disturbances created by persons like Durvasa Muni. But the king tolerated everything patiently, depending fully on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord, however, is situated in everyone's heart, and he manages things as he desires. Thus, although Maharaj Ambarisha was faced with many disturbances, the Lord, being merciful to him, managed things so nicely that in the end, Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarisha became great friends and parted cordially on the basis of Bhakti Yoga. After all, Durvasa Muni was convinced of the power of Bhakti Yoga, although he himself was a great mystic yogi. Therefore, stated by Lord Krishna Bhagavad Gita,
Yoginam api sarvesham madgatinantaratmana shadavam bhajate yomam samyukta tamomata.
Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and he is the highest of all. Thus it is a fact that a devotee is the topmost yogi, as proved in the dealings of Maharaj Ambarisha with Durvasa Muni. So I would like to give you a little summary where we are at the present moment. This is the second session of our Art of Transformation seminar given in Ljubljana while the world is in chaos. So the transformation is good for us. We were discussing yesterday an observation which I believe every one of us has shared. While it is easy in spiritual life to change one's name, to change one's haircut, one's eating styles, one's dresses, and friends, it is difficult to change the heart. And on in genuine spiritual life, we don't look for a surface level transformation, transformation of hairstyle and dressing styles. We actually look at deeper transformations, that is the transformation of heart. It's not even a cultural change that we who were Westerners have now become Easterners, no, or Hindus. It's really a change of heart. Now, we were hearing from the Hari Bhakti Vilas that just that the process is necessary to effect that, just like an alchemical process can change ordinary iron into pure gold. A person who takes to the process can really develop a gold-like pure heart, Prabhupada says like this. So, in our tradition, we find, of course, many examples. Remember Dhruva in Madhuvan, the prince who wanted to have a whole universe for a kingdom, really, how he became desireless. Remember Prakashananda in Sarasvati in Varanasi. He had, a Mayavadi conception of the Lord, but this was changed, it was transformed. He became a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or remember Jaya and Madai and the prostitute in Chaitanya Leela, or even Pingala in the 11th canto. Transformation is possible, but you need and dynamic which work on you, a powerful, strong dynamics or agents of change. And we found out what this is in our Gaudiya line. It's a Urva Puntra, the spiritual school, which is given in our Sampradaya. It is marked by an external sign, a particular tilak. It's with tapas. You have to perform some austerity. But be careful here. The intensity which you use has to fit to your personality. If you do austerities for which you are not, which are not meant for you, then you will lack consistency. Therefore, it's very important that you practice a lot before you give the promise, the vow to chant 16 rounds a day. In our congregation, we don't demand this. We say, if you are a congregational devotee, you can chant 4 rounds, 8 rounds, 12 rounds, what is possible for you. But once you are initiated, it is assumed that the intensity of the practice is appropriate to your personality. You have changed so much already that it's not difficult for you, but it's easy. Intensity with consistency, my dear devotees, affects these amazing changes. Intensity with consistency. The Bhagavatam says, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. No? Tivrena, that is the practice of Bhakti Yoga, that is Tivra, means intense or strong. No? That can purify a materialist, someone who is an impersonalist, and everything in between. So yes. Choose your intensity wisely, so that, because only consistency will help you. So we heard about other agents of change. Urva Pundra Tapa, who remembers another one? Nama, wonderful. Then Mantra, yes, Yajna is also there, correct. And then we miss one. We got a little bewildered. We have them all. But in the succession it's mentioned Udvapunda, Tapa, Nama, then comes Mantra, and finally Yajna, which can mean a fire Yajna, like we do, I think, weekly. Here it could also mean worship. So by this process, the transformation of the heart is possible. But I told you that there is one other agent which we will look at today. Divine mercy. We all have a problem. And the problem is not solved when we come to a movement, genuine spiritual movement. We suffer from avidya. This is often translated as ignorance, but what it means particularly is that you don't know who you are any longer. It's not ignorance of a subject like geology or so. No, it is avidya, means particularly the ignorance of who you are. You don't know any longer that you are the eternal self. And this leads to asmita, or misidentification, or we often say false ego. Jayadvaita Maharaj, who amongst knowing Prabhupada's books very good, knows also psychology very good, and he quoted in Switzerland Erik Erikson. Erik Erikson spoke about this ego problem like this. He said, every one of us carries an identity kit with him. You know, in that identity kit is our identification. You know, I'm a German, I'm American, you know, we have an appropriate passport in our identity kit. I'm a British person. We have a certain style, you know, shoes, or how we like to carry, how we bind our dhoti, or how we like to, when we are sannyasis, how we like to carry a scarf, or this, you know, it's called an uttariya. It's a certain way which is based on a certain identity, the way we perceive ourselves and we want others to be perceived. And my dear devotees, this false ego, as I wanted to say, is strong. Bhakti or Krishna consciousness, however, begins at the stage of when you have sarvopadi viniyamuktam, when you give up this identity kit, this designations, these labels on your personality. In the second canto, Srila Prabhupada says, bhakti starts, or Krishna consciousness starts, when you understand, I'm not the body, I'm an eternal soul, you know. This is not so easy to understand, so easy to give up. I met a very old devotee who told me that when in 9/11, the American, you know, the Twin Towers in New York were bombed, at that time, he felt, how could they do this? We Americans stand for democracy. And he noticed, we Americans? Oh, oops. I'm not this. I'm not an American. In Vrindavan, there was a problem. Also, a few devotees from Ukraine were beating a devotee from Russia because and saying, you people from Putin, you have attacked us. Wait a minute. We are not Russian. We are not Ukrainian. We are eternal spiritual souls. But it's very deeply rooted, this ahankara. It's the point where the spirit touches matter. And it is here where a knot is formed. A knot which is more dangerous than the tumor knots or anything. It binds the eternal spiritual soul, which is full of ananda, to a situation that is near ananda, without bliss. It is binding the soul who is full of knowledge to a situation which is full of ignorance. And in this way, we lose our identity. In yoga, all forms of yoga, our yoga is bhakti yoga, we want to cut this knot in the heart. In the Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, it is this knot is Hridaya Grantis. Sarva samshaya chityante, what was it? Chityante, something cutting the hridaya grantis, the knot in the heart. This is necessary for genuine spiritual life. In the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which are quoted also by Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavatam purports, they are it is said that there are three things which can help you to cut these or remove these old, the results of the false ego. You know, avidya, asmita, ignorance, ego, attachment, hatred. And abhinivesha means clinging to life and or absorption in material life. No, there are three things which can help you. One is tapas, that is self-discipline. The second is svadhyaya, study, which brings you knowledge and inspiration, and also they say japa is part of svadhyaya. That's a different perspective. And then Ishvara Pranidhana, which means surrender to the Supreme Lord. These three things help a person to remove or transform his heart and make it free from all these suffer these illusions which are in there. Self-discipline, we talked a little bit about it. You have to be careful that you do choose a discipline which is not too intense nor too little intense, so that you can do it with consistency. This is compared with shaking a cloth which has dust. When you perform self-discipline, it's like the effort to, you know, maybe when you get up from your resting place, you shake your sleeping bag so that fresh air comes in. And if there was any dirt, maybe we were camping outside and there is some dirt, and then you shake it. You can be very, you can be a little successful by from removing dirt by this process. But what do you do with the deep stains? What is stains in Slovenian language? You speak, please speak loud this word. Yeah, it's really the deep dirt, like for instance blood stains, or if you go and fill gas in your car, then there's oil with dirt, you know, it really sticks. You can't just shake it out. So we have some contaminations, my dear devotees, which are very difficult to remove. We have heard the yogis do a lot of self-discipline, but it doesn't help them to remove all attachments from the heart. For instance, the attachment to name, fame and glory, or the attachment for the opposite gender. Very strong. Vishvamitra's life shows us, yes. What is this yogi in the Bhagavatam? Sobari, yes? Is his name Sobari? Who was meditating? Subari? Shobari. Muni. He was trying to, by this disciplined action, remove the dirty things in the heart, but he was not successful. So therefore the scriptures say you must not only practice self-discipline, you have to have svadhyaya, which is study and also spiritual practice in some traditions. This is compared with washing the cloth. But imagine, I don't have stains in this dhoti, but I have stains in my other dhoti. Whoa! I have washed it 20 times. It's still there. You can see. I would not go to Ljubljana in this dhoti because it's so dirty. It's somehow... And the only way to get free from these stains is to burn the cloth. then it's gone. Otherwise, it's not gone. So there are some impurities which are very strong, but by they can only be removed by Ishvara Pranidhana, or surrender to Krishna, or let us speak by Bhakti Yoga. No? The Ishopanishad describes a prayer of a dying man who at the moment of death prays something to Krishna, hoping that Krishna will burn his impurities and he will go back to Godhead. This is what he says. I have it only in English for you, but I think you don't understand Sanskrit word by word, so I will immediately go to English. Oh my Lord! Oh my good Gospodin, yes. Oh my Lord! The dying man is, imagine he is lying there. The drums of death are coming closer. Boom, 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 boom. Oh my Lord, as powerful as the fire. O omnipotent one, I offer you all obeisances. Falling on the ground at your feet, oh my Lord, please, you lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins, so that there will be no hindrance to my progress. So, yes, that's a very moving prayer, isn't it? If you want to read it in your own reading time, it's in the Ishopanishad, verse 18. You can also, when you are asked to visit a hospital where someone dies and you are asked to help them to orient their consciousness, you can read this verse to them. Oh my Lord, as powerful as fire, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know what I've done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins. The Lord can do that. He can take His mercy because He is as powerful as fire. And He can change the impure heart of the conditioned soul, which is still filled with the problems of material, the kleshas they are called, ignorance and attachment and ego and all these things, and the reactions to these ignorant activities. The Lord, by His mercy, can burn the cloth, and even the deepest stains can go out. But the yogi tries by self-discipline is only as efficient as, you know, shaking the cloth so that the dust or maybe some dry grass or anything falls out. What you can do with study of the scriptures and japa also is like washing the cloth. It's important. You need to do it to show the Lord, I want your mercy. But ultimately you need, and we need, to surrender to Krishna. And it is this surrender which will burn the deeper impurities and which will work. When Prabhupada gave an initiation to one devotee, he wrote this devotee, keep yourself always in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Read my books daily, chant your 16 rounds, and worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in your home. No? This is the process. Keep yourself in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Because then Krishna will burn the impurities in your subtle body, where all these problems which you need to transform are situated. There is a verse in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, my dear devotees, which says that bhakti burns your subtle body, where all these, you know, impurities reside. Now you must, Krishna, you might say, yes, that's why some of the devotees look so burnt out. Is bhakti burning our subtle body that our mind becomes like a piece of paper that is ashen? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur helps us to understand. Bhakti works like the fire of digestion. When you put food into the stomach, the fire of digestion doesn't burn all the food. It burns the unnecessary things which are eliminated by the elimination process, but it keeps the minerals, the vitamins, the good things which are necessary for your body to function. Do you understand? So in the same way, bhakti doesn't make a person mindless and foolish and unaware and unconscious and so on. That would be sad. Then we truly would be a sect which destroys your personality and everything. No! Bhakti burns your subtle body your impure mind, the impurities in the mind and the intelligence and the body. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam which says, when the subtle body is changed, you do not see yourself as an enjoyer due to your desires any longer. And you see the Lord in the heart. And when your subtle body is bhakti is burned, you don't see the world with the sense objects you can enjoy. Oh, wow. No. You try to fulfill the Lord's desire. I experience this every time when I'm flying from great airports. You know, when you have gone through security, you enter into this heavenly planets of sense enjoyment. Have you seen, Nima, in London Heathrow, where you flying from Heathrow, there is even a Harry Potter shop. Everything is there. There's great things for enjoyment. Whiskey, not that Russian whiskey, the real stuff from Scotland. There is cigarettes, there is chocolate, blah. There is, what is there? I have not seen so. Cosmetics, you know, for men and women. Equally, you know, David Adam, everything is there. And when Gokrishna and me, we have traveled a lot, maybe, I don't know, we have traveled through 1,000 airports this summer. We always go through this and we talk to each other. It's so nice to see all the things we don't need. Because you don't see the world as and what it has to offer as sense of objects to enjoy. You might see if this can, if you can buy something that fulfills the Lord's desires. Like when I was in London, I went into the Harry Potter shop and thought maybe there's something for my deities. But there were only, I mean, I also didn't have so much time, but I could not find anything. So then I said, sorry, I'm not interested. Sorry. You know. So this happens when the consciousness is, when the subtle body, the mind is purified. You can read this if you like to study scriptures. I don't know how you are here in Ljubljana. In 4:22-28-29, there you will see the difference when the subtle body is present, the material mind and material senses, and what is happening to you when it's absent, when it's burnt by the transformative fire of Krishna consciousness. I will end now. I will read you something about the mercy of Krishna, who can burn your subtle bodies and your impurities to ashes. It's from Srimad Bhagavatam 7:9-26. The Vaishnava's body is spiritualized even in this life. Wow! For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes red hot and is no longer iron but fire. Imagine you put some metal into fire, it becomes hot, hot, hotter, hotter, still hotter, and then it glows, it's fire. Similarly, the so-called material bodies of devotees who fully engage in devotional service of the Lord, they are constantly in the fire of spiritual life, and they have nothing to do with matter, but are spiritualized. So my dear devotees, keep yourself in the fire of Krishna consciousness, because due to the mercy, not your own fire, due to Krishna's fire, Krishna's mercy, Sanatana says that your bodies become literally Sachit Ananda. You have really spiritualized bodies. Or bhakti enters into your material body by the potency of the Supreme Lord's special mercy. I think you can sometimes see when a devotee is in kirtan, his eyes shine. Have you noticed? He becomes inspired. Have you noticed? Bhakti has entered into his subtle body and he feels enlivened. Sanatana says the body and senses of the devotee become suitable for performing bhakti by some God-given potency which is inherent in the jivas themselves. For our purpose here, it's good enough that by Krishna's mercy, special mercy, bhakti enters into the material bodies and minds, and it changes everything. Krishna, 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 Krishna. What do you think? Do you have any questions regarding this? Yes.
I can say that after many years of like trying, it's looking like impossible to change my conditional nature. But somehow you said one time, like, there are two ways how transformation can happen. Like one way is like people try to go to psychology, different psychology methods to change their dirty things in the heart, but by doing this, actually, we get entangled even more. But then you said there is this other process of Shravanam Kirtanam, when we hear and chant about Krishna, and then Krishna automatically makes this change in our heart. But yesterday you said we need to focus our mind on, but there, because we know that if we focus our mind in Shravanam Kirtan, change will happen. And we'll be in ecstasy after. But on the way, between this is our mind, who has some lethargy, apathy.
Yes.
So how to go through this process to come to the change?
Oh, yes, Madhuchanda Prabhu. Intensity and consistency. You please look at your life and see where is about these two paradigms. Intensity, how intense is your spiritual practice, and consistent. That's very important. You understand, consistent, Vienna, on and on and on and on, not interrupting. But then you also need to call to the Lord. Have you prayed to the Lord? Have you actually gone to the Lord and presented this problem to him? I mean, have you really, if it's a big problem, which I believe you that it is a big problem, have you already asked the Lord that I cannot do it alone? Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Gopinath prayer says, My Lord, I must tell you one thing. My mind and my senses are not under my full control. They are material nature. my mind is such that it does not want to accept the authority of the Shastras always. It doesn't do that. So now, my Lord, I pray for your help. To me, Hrishikesha, you and no one else, not me, are the controllers of the mind and the senses. You may think that, oh, I'm an insignificant devotee. Why can I go? I don't think I can go to the Lord directly. I'm not like Brahma and Shiva, you know. But there is a verse which will help us remove this. It's from the Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika. It says, O human beings, Madhuchanda, that's you also, do not feel ashamed and neglect the service of Sri Krishna, thinking that great personalities like Lord Brahma and Shiva are his servants. So how will you, a sinful, insignificant person, become eligible to worship him? No, Madhuchanda. I mean, it doesn't mention your name here. No, no, he is an ocean of mercy and the friend of his devotees. How do you know if someone is your friend? You usually know it when the friendship is tested. When you are not good, when you cannot perform your life very nicely, watch for those who are still with you at that time. Radhanath Maharaj told me he knows the richest person of Asia. You know, don't think in Asia there are only rupees. Oof, you are mistaken. There are really rich people in Asia. And the wife of this person comes from a very poor background, but married this person who became incredibly rich, more than Rockefeller or the rich people which we may have heard. And this wife said to him, you know, I have not one single friend since the time where I'm rich. All the friends which I have, the real friends, come from the time before I became rich, when I was poor. Because it seems when there is a rich person, the persons who come close cannot forget that they have tremendous money and they are influenced by it. So I want to bring out the point here. When you are poor, when you are not performing very well, when you are sad, when you are destroyed, when you are broken, then you know who's your friend. Not when you are in the glorious phase of your life. So Krishna is an ocean of mercy and he's the true friend of his devotees. So when there is an impossible task, let us say you are ill. Today I spoke with a very nice devotee who has some health condition. If you surrender to Krishna, even if medicine has given you up, it's not Krishna can help you. The way Krishna's mercy sometimes works, Madhuchanda, and that's why you may have to think if you want to pray, is also explained. When a child eats clay, his father takes the clay away and gives him sweet. Similarly, the Supreme Lord's lotus feet take lust away and give spiritual bliss to ambitious devotees who are ignorant of the glories You know, so let us say there's an ambitious devotee, he has many material goals. If he goes to Krishna and prays, please help me, Krishna might take the dirt out of his mouth and put a sweet in there. But the ambitious devotee may think, no, I don't want the Krishna conscious sweets. I want hamburgers of material existence, you know. And then, so think. But if you can go to Krishna like this, wow, Madhu Chanda, he can help you. So three things: check your intensity and check your consistency. Many times we are good when we visit the temple, and then life is also there. So intensity and consistency, check that. And go to Krishna. This is about the kripa of the Lord. Have you ever noticed, I'm asking all of you, when you are really going to Krishna, maybe after you have committed some mistake, maybe after you had a really bad time, and you chant, and you read it, you think, wow, it's so true. Have you noted this? Oh, wow, it goes into my heart like anything. I can feel it. I can feel the mercy of Krishna. Where was I all these weeks and months and years and 10 years and 20 years? You know, it happens. So, by Krishna's kripa, things are possible. Tapas does a little. Svadaya, study, spiritual practice does a little. But surrendering to the Lord, Ishvara, Pranidhana, and obtaining His mercy, that takes away all the dirt like that. When the cloth, this is all right, this is very beautiful, this dhoti. But I have one dhoti. I think it was, I hurt myself in the hand and I was bleeding in it. The blood doesn't go out. Hare Krishna. I have to burn it. But I'm a little bit attached to the story. Hare Krishna. Good. Anyone else? Hope I have not put you to sleep. Have you all sometimes asked yourself, is it possible for me to become Krishna conscious in one life? I think we all have asked ourselves. Is it really possible to remove the old samskaras? We have asked ourselves, isn't it? Here is an answer, hopefully. Yes, there was... did you... Yes.
Thank you for an inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, you mentioned that three aspects by which we can advance in spiritual life, and I would just like to ask, how can we get the inspiration and the power to really strongly try to grasp these possibilities?
Thank you very much. This is a wonderful question which you have asked. I would just request Krishna to come for a moment. One moment. This 422.26 on your mobile phone. See, the inspiration to move forward in Krishna consciousness comes by hearing. You need to hear a lot. And when you feel you suffer from a lack of inspiration, then hearing can greatly help you. Prolonged hearing. I remember when I was a young devotee, it was sometimes so difficult for me. And then I did, one devotee told me, why don't you read a day? Take a day off and just read. And for me this always worked. By hearing, it works. I want to also... Yes. I will speak about this a little later. Hearing. We need this inspiration, and the hearing does it. With the hearing, our inspiration is generated, it is also maintained. I remember Prabhupada told us once, "You're not reading my books," he said. It was correct. "You're not reading my books, but I have written them for you. They're meant for you." I have this constant problem that I have too little time for my subjects. I want to... I can tell you very briefly. There was this one queen, Surangi Maharani of Kashmir. She lived in untold opulences, but one afternoon she became so bored that she said to her servant, "Please sing me a song or tell me a story that removes my boredom." So the servant was a devotee of Krishna and told her about Krishna. And after doing this for a few months, the queen wanted to see Krishna's land, Vrindavan. So she escaped the palace. Her husband, the king, was not in favor that she made that long journey from Kashmir to Vrindavan, but she in the night escaped, or in the early morning. And when she, so just by hearing, she had developed this urge. And when she came to Vrindavan, one holy spot, she started to dance. "Here's the land of my Lord." She danced and all her ornaments fell away. Nose ring, ting, gone in the dust. What is it called? Earrings. Pang, gone. Ornaments on the sari, chum, gone. When she was finished after dancing in ecstasy, she didn't even pick up her gold ornaments. She told her servants, "Anyone who wants this can take them. I'm not interested any longer." And instead, what did she do? She began to serve the Vaishnavas and Krishna by sweeping every day the path that leads around Govardhan. Full transformation of the heart but she had become interested in this by hearing. Here, reading is a form of hearing. Do you know? Reading is a form of hearing. Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, I thank you very much. I'm just a little bit sorry that these subject matters are so... Do you recognize that they are important? how can you say no? You know, but no, we feel, because we feel we need to change our personality. Mazi, no? We can feel that. But we also feel sometimes a little helpless. We feel... So in these lectures, I hope to give you new angles so that you don't give up on your transformation. By the way, one very nice Vaishnavi with her helpers have made this temple room into a room where transformation seems possible. You can see butterflies there? Yes? Can you see? No? Yes? Middle? Good. And can you see the kukongs there? Yes? No? Middle? Yeah. And can you see the butterflies there who have fully grown and they fly towards Krishna? This is the idea, the art of real transformation, which makes a gusenice means a caterpillar, into a, what is it, butterfly?
Metul.
Yeah, I know the other word, leptia. From the gusenice to the leptia. Yes. Oh, this thing shows me the time. I didn't ask for that. But, good. I thank you all very much. We will end here. Our next session comes for sure. I heard we have a kirtan at 4 o'clock, from 4 to 6 o'clock, with Gokrishna, Nimai, Devadharma, and others. Please make sure from 4 to 6 o'clock, because why? We want to really make this an unforgettable event. We want to step out of the box of our ordinary life and become really absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and therefore please kindly come. It will help you to make this transformative journey, or at least get an idea what it is. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.